I was totally okay with him not becoming a customer. I was really convinced he was not going to be. And this was like on a Friday. On Monday, he calls me up. He's like, okay, when can we get started? And pre-reading this book, I would have bent.
I'm Alicia Domenico, host of the Company Growth Podcast and CEO of Tangible Words. In this limited series, Books to Help You Grow, I'm sharing the books that have unlocked the most ideas for Tangible Words and our clients. While I recommend these books all the time, in each episode, I'll help you assess if the book will help you grow.
Here's a book you got to keep on your nightstand and return to time and again. One of the things I absolutely love about Chris Voss's book, Never Split the Difference, is he teaches you so many things that are going to blow your mind that he summarizes it at the end of every chapter with key lessons that you can dog ear to let the book quickly sink in again. Chris Voss worked for the FBI in negotiation. He was the guy who got called in hostage situations, including with kidnappings, and he had to resolve what was often a life and death situation and learn from those scenarios and try to do better next time. It's a riveting read, rife with stories. It's also a book you don't want to put down. Here's some of the big aha moments. First of all, one of the things that Chris Voss talks about is that people want to feel appreciated and understood, even kidnappers. It's kind of a shocking concept because you don't often think about the people who are on the wrong side of the law as really caring about empathy or that somebody appreciates them. He also gives you great strategies throughout the book. Besides this concept of self-awareness and how you're coming across, which he speaks to at length, he also talks about the importance of preparing for big negotiation sessions and the ways in which you can prepare for things to go sideways so that you still manage to have an outcome that is at least pleasing to you. I love how Voss explains that you can always acknowledge how somebody is feeling and you don't have to agree. And I love that he talks about labeling the barriers for progressing a deal. So many times you might be speaking with somebody and have had that experience where you're not really sure if they're telling you the whole truth. And Voss helps you unpack how to recognize that and really get to the truth of an issue. If you're in one of those squirrely conversations where the person across from you is contradicting themselves all the time, it's strategies that come from this book that will help you stop leaving those conversations feeling completely frustrated and confounded. For example, so many times people will be afraid of hearing the word no, but he talks about leaning into the concept of no so that you can better understand that the no probably just means not yet. And if you can understand the not yet of it, you can get closer to goal. He also talks about summarizing and doing slight changes, like instead of asking a question that starts with why, which tends to rattle a lot of people, or even trying to get your opponent to say yes, those things don't really help you, but asking how and what phrased questions really can help you both get to goal. And there's just a ton of human psychology along the way that you're going to love, such as people are more likely to take a risk to avoid loss than to gain something. And that inaction is something that you can start to articulate and help people label for themselves so they can recognize when maybe they're not giving you the full answer or they're not really sure how they feel and they need a little help articulating it too. At Tangible Words, I stopped reading this book almost 10 pages before I got to the end because I immediately needed to use it with a bad payer. Starting that negotiation for most small businesses can be really confronting, but using Chris Voss's strategies, I felt like I had a template for how to script the conversation so I could prepare for it and to make sure that before the relationship went south or even if their person stopped engaging in the conversation, you would have some strategies to get communication back on track and you would have some strategies to getting to goal, such as getting paid in some of these situations. We've also used these strategies to help our clients understand when a deal gets stalled. It's not the worst thing to ask the person that you were communicating with if this is something that should be put on ice for a while. We call it the breakup email, and it is single-handedly one of the best ways to stop a conversation that has gone into the ghosting category and reroute it, because oftentimes there's these circumstances that you can't see from your side of the bench that are happening on the other side, and if you start talking about ending it, it'll really help them realize what's in the way and to remember to communicate that to you. We've also used Chris Voss's concept of extreme anchoring to help us figure out freemium packages with our customers, not only for ourselves, but to help our customers develop that product suite. We can give away things that don't hurt, and in doing so, we can create a give and get where there is more likely to be mutual cooperation from both sides of the fence. You might not recognize what you're doing as a piece of negotiation, but I think from your most intimate relationships to the business world, this book has a ton of value. And frankly, if you read this book and don't find value, I want to hear about it. The subtitle of the book is Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It, and that alone might make you think you don't have anything in common with a FBI hostage negotiator. Some people may even be sort of resistant to the title in the sense of, oh my God, are my conversations really that hostile that I could possibly learn from somebody who's working in these life and death situations? That's atypical, but I think the contrast and what is learned in these field-tested tools about the human psychology and the way that people do and don't communicate is very, very valuable from your most intimate relationships to any part or any role that you have in the business world. So don't let the title scare you or the subtitle. There's real value to be found in this book, even just by listening to the stories and the crazy things that happen and how people survive them. It's a great read. It's very, very gripping. Tal Raz is the author that helps Chris articulate his ideas throughout the book and get them written down. And it's just an amazing business book. On a quarterly basis, I mastermind with other HubSpot agencies and lead them in different topics that help our fellow agencies grow. So to dig into this book, I recruited two colleagues from that agency world. Tracy Graziani is the owner and Geek Executive Officer of Graziani Multimedia, a marketing agency based in Cleveland, Ohio. Tracy is a huge reader, and she runs the Lions Book Club for all of our fellow HubSpot agencies. She's the one who recommended this book to me. Lika Wouters is the CEO of Mind & Metrics, a digital agency based in New York. She's a frequent collaborator on Tangible Words projects for our clients, and I knew she read the book and loved it and had a robust discussion in our book club that Tracy runs. We're going to kick off with Tracy. She beautifully explained the concept of splitting the difference and why it's terrible.
Now there's a lot of ways to just buy a car and the price is the price. But once upon a time, you had this friction of a salesperson that you had to go through to buy the car. And so people would go in and they'd look at the car, they like the car, and they'd tell the salesperson, I want to pay, you know, this amount of money for it. And then the salesperson is like, oh, I don't know, let me go ask the boss. And then they go to some other room and they come back with a counter offer. And then you come back and you're like, oh, why don't we split the difference? And you end up somewhere in the middle. And people kind of expect that kind of transaction, that kind of negotiation to go that way. And truthfully, the car dealership wants to sell it for full price. You want to get it for the price you wanted to get it for. But you play this dance and land somewhere in the middle. And it never feels great. It feels better than paying full price, probably. But, you know, salespeople are going to sit around and brag about the times when they sold it for sticker, right? So it's a lose-lose for everybody. And yet, you know, it's kind of how things are expected to be done when you do a negotiation. So that's why I think it's such a brilliant title, because it's like, I don't ever want to split the difference. And yet I felt very trapped in the dance.
Isn't that what we're always taught about compromise?
I think that's why people sometimes don't like to compromise, right? Because it does feel like everybody got less than what they wanted. I actually am not convinced that's what compromise really is. Like, I don't know, you're a parent, I'm a parent. You know, to me, ultimately, you know, when you're arguing over, you know, what playlist you're going to play in the car, is your kids are like, well, I want to listen to, in my case with the kids, it's like BTS, and the other one wants to listen to Weird Al. And a compromise is not, we'll play one for 20 minutes and the other for 20 minutes, right? That's, I think, what people sometimes think compromise is. But to me, harmony in my car, since I have to be with everybody while we're driving down the road, is why don't we find something we all like? So really, the compromise in that situation is neither thing. It's finding the thing that works for everybody.
The lessons from this book are especially relevant in a time when everybody is kind of expecting a recession, but no one knows how bad it will be or what, if anything, should be done to mitigate the damage. When Lika was feeling that uncertainty with her clients, she put Chris Voss's lessons to work.
The economy and the way that the where we're headed, recession, inflation, all these things, it's just business chaos and overdrive. And so in my experience in the last 6 months, a lot of business owners have gotten a little bit jumpy and are starting to make irrational choices at times just because they feel a little bit out of control. So when you use some of the techniques in the book, you give them the ability to feel in control and thereby help them make better choices for their business.
So you're using the book to help you get them to think about less chaos, more focus on what's possible right now, and what you're facing right now, and how you can survive it, or maybe even do better than survive it.
I was speaking to a client recently, and he wanted to just, you know, pull the plug on his website. He sells on Amazon. He's like, Amazon's working, but this website's just taking up too much of his time, and he felt scattered. And so he just wanted to like give up. And I actually used some of the tips in the book, which Chris Voss uses as a means to engage someone in conversation. Have you given up on XYZ, your goals? And so I asked him straight out, have you given up on, you know, creating a digital presence with your website? And he said, yes. I was like, ooh, good to know. Now my, my revenue is in the balance here. And so using techniques in the book, I then asked, you know, a lot of the hows that Chris Voss uses. And so I asked him, how do you expect to compensate for the loss in revenue? And the customer was like, I'm totally fine with that. I feel that there's just too much going on. In other words, there's too much chaos for him to actually have a solid plan. And it wasn't until like I drilled down a little bit more, and after a while I asked him, how do you intend to maintain your competitive advantage if you put everything on pause? And that's when I felt like there was a switch in the sales conversation, because as much as he didn't want to tackle the chaos, he also did not want to lose his competitive advantage. So I managed to turn it around. And I think a lot of that was due to tactics from the book, leaning into the no.
I love that. Do you feel like your relationship got stronger with the client through this series of questioning and conversation?
I think it solidified trust, because ultimately the customer, they don't have all the tools to solve all the problems themselves. You hire people to help you solve different aspects of your business, and that requires a certain amount of trust and the ability to say like, okay, that person, you know, has that. And so I feel that in that exchange, he was kind of like, okay, well, she has that covered for my business, especially when it comes to a competitive advantage.
For giving the other party a sense of control over the conversation, which is a critical part of negotiation, you shouldn't feel like you're the person leading the negotiation or that one party is necessarily the boss. I think if you come across as the boss of the negotiation is doomed to fail. So you want to give the other party a sense of control. And one of the specific tactics Chris Voss recommends is anchoring. Tracy puts this technique to work in many of her relationships, both personal and professional.
One of the weird things that works with kids is, hey, would you like green beans or broccoli? You're not giving them a non-vegetable choice. You just are letting them choose the vegetable, you know? It takes just a minute to do that anchoring. This is the service and this is what it costs and this is what you get with it. And so if they come back and they're like, oh, you know, I really needed to be, you know, 20% lower, whatever, my budget or my whatever their reason, right? There's a reason. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, what part of this do we want to cut out to get to that price? And you know what? Nobody really blinks when you do that, but you have to do that. And then the other bit with the anchoring is, which of these outcomes is least important to you? Because the service is all tied to an outcome. You know, so, okay, we did SMART goals. You know, you said you want to increase your revenue by 30%, you know, year over year. And so far, you know, you're only about 15% up to last year. So if we're going to close Q4 at 30% up, there's a lot that has to be done in the next 2.5 months, Mr. Customer. So, you know, what of these SMART goals isn't important to you? And then we'll figure out, you know, what services associated with that to take out of this proposal.
I think Chris talks about this a lot in the book, where he really makes it clear that there's a tornado of strings, or Leakey used the term knot. And untangling that knot means finding out what actually is important. So when we look at the concept of compromise, we're like, well, compromise can mean, you know, I don't feel that determined to get X, so I'll, you know, I can give that up. And I think that's what he's talking about with his anchoring, is that the things that you don't really care about, don't hang on to them and clutch to them. Let the things go that don't matter and focus on the things that actually are the desired outcome you're trying to get.
Yeah, because that's what he does. I mean, it's not a hostage negotiation, right? But that's what he does with these people, right? Because he listens to whatever their story is and gets a sense of whatever they're trying to get out of it. And that's what he anchors to. You know, there's this thing that you want and I want to help you get it. So how are we going to get there?
If you know your bottom line and you can ask good enough 5 W's and the H, you know, who, what, how type questions of the other person, you can establish their bottom line.
That was kind of the interesting stuff he does with these hostage negotiations. He's like, oh, well, how would I do that? Do you have any ideas? You know, like what would you suggest?
How am I going to get you $2 million today?
So I thought that was really fascinating, because sort of the knee-jerk reaction, if I were the hostage negotiator, which obviously I'm not, would be, well, that's ridiculous. I don't have $4 million or, you know, whatever. That's not on the table. But instead, you're putting it back in their lap.
In both of my conversations with Lika and Tracy, the question of manipulation came up. Are these tactics for negotiation making people do things they don't want to do? For me, that's an uncomfortable thought, because I don't want anyone to think I'm manipulating them through the sales process. Here's what Lika thinks.
I actually don't think that when I'm talking to my customers that I'm manipulating them. I just feel that I'm like a business shrink. I'm undoing the knot of problems that they have, but they're still in charge. And I think that's why the book is so useful, is because you don't want to bulldoze in and say, well, I'm going to fix it for you. Most business owners want to learn how to fix it for themselves. And so using some of the tactics within the books, you can help the customer really untie that knot of problems that they have.
Tracy agrees.
If you do the stuff that's in this book, you actually feel less salesy. I think a lot of sales books and training and coaching is around how can you manipulate people into doing what you want them to do. And I think there's people who do really actually enjoy that way of selling, unfortunately. But I think the reason most people are uncomfortable with sales is because they don't like that feeling. It doesn't feel good to get somebody to do something they don't want to do. And so that kind of selling feels awful. And so if you do this, if you do the stuff that's in here, it does feel a lot more natural and a lot more human and a lot less like you're selling. It really does feel like you're helping people.
No matter how helpful your conversations are, they don't always lead to a resolution you're comfortable with. In some cases, the techniques in this book will help you figure out if the person you're talking to is maybe even a bad fit to work with your company. As Tracy puts it,
not everybody's your customer, right? It really is a horrible feeling when a deal doesn't go through, right? Like that, you know, you lost the deal, or it didn't close, or they went with somebody else, or all those things. But I've also found when you employ these techniques, it kind of comes to a natural end that you're okay with if it's not the right fit. We had a big proposal, you know, it was a few years ago that we really put a lot of work into the proposal. You know, I knew the other agencies that we were up against. I knew we had the most experience. I knew we had the best track record. On paper, I knew we were the best. And it did ultimately kind of come down to a price thing. And the owner of the company, basically, he's implied somebody else has underbid you significantly. And he's like, I want to work with you guys, but we've got this other bid that's like way lower. He's like, you know, so if you were me, you know, how could you justify this significant difference in price? And my response was, well, you know, all those things I just said, right? Like, we were the best, you know, fit for the job. And he was like, well, but that doesn't change the bottom line. And I said, well, I think the difference is that you're looking at it in terms of the amount you're wanting to spend here and not looking at it in terms of the amount you're likely to see an ROI on that investment. And he basically was like, well, that's not how my budget works. The size of the organization and all of that was such that their budget was based on the previous year and always would be that way. And so as we're talking through it, it was very clear that the culture of that organization was about commoditizing the work, period. So I was not willing to bend on the price because to me, the bottom line was I knew how much work it was going to be to do the quality of work that would be done. I really didn't know how these other people that underbid were going to do it at that significant difference. But they probably could do it poorly, or maybe they outsource. Who knows, right? But I knew what the work was worth. And so we didn't get the deal, but because I'd asked the questions and got the responses, I also didn't feel bad about it.
Well, and not to mention that in small agencies like ours, we're the people who are still working in operations. So you might sell it, but then you got to work with that person. That old styled world, I kind of associate it more with big business, where someone sells it who has no care about what actually is going to happen next and what the onboarding of the customer experience is going to be like, which is the antithesis of what Joey Coleman writes about and Never Lose a Customer Again, for sure. And I think Chris Voss would totally agree with that too, is like, you know, we're just two humans. We both have things that we need to get. And it's okay if we can't see eye to eye in our, at least in your life and my life, Tracy, we can be like, it's okay to both walk away and lean into the no here if we naturally come to a close.
Yeah. He doesn't say this specifically in the book, but since you talk about Joey Coleman as an example, it also sets you up for a better working relationship once you start working with that client that you've closed, right? So, I mean, I have a current client that really tried to like negotiate and put the screws to us on price. And I really held firm. I just tell people at the beginning, like, I'm not giving you an artificially high price so that we can play that back and forth. The price is the price. And, you know, then when they come back, like, ah, that's, you know, more money than I have or, you know, whatever, then we do the, well, okay, this is what my experience tells me is necessary. I know that we'll get results for you. And I walked away from that thinking, given how much he was doubling down on, I need it for this other price, I thought, well, I was totally okay with him not, you know, becoming a customer. I was really convinced he was not going to be. And this was like on a Friday. On Monday, he calls me up. He's like, okay, when can we get started? And pre-reading this book, I would have bent, you know, the more he pushed, because I really believed he maybe didn't have the money. And I liked what his brand was doing, and I thought it would be fun to work on. And you have all those things that go through your head, you know, you're like, oh, this would be such a cool client. Well, maybe we could make it work. You know, like, those are all things that, like, little devil on my shoulder, like, talking in my ear, like, you could maybe, like, take 5% off, you know. And I'm just like, got the little Chris Voss angel on the other shoulder, like, well, the price is the price. And damn it if he didn't sign. And it did set the tone for the relationship, which was great.
This concept of bringing things to a natural close is echoed in another book we're tackling in this series, Traction by Gino Wickman. Gino applies the concept of the employee-employer relationships, giving both parties the language to discuss whether it's a right fit, and if not, to find ways to make it a better fit or to part amicably. Traction is one of my absolute favorite business books, so make sure you tune in for that episode. All of the books highlighted in this series are worth reading. If you'd like to read more but feel like you don't have time, listen carefully to this final piece of advice from Tracy.
I'm a reader. I read a bazillion books. I love to read. I've learned so much by doing it. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I don't read or I don't have time. My only answer is, like, everybody has time. They're doing other stuff that you could listen to it. So I would say if you don't have time to read it, listen to the audiobook while you're doing laundry or something, because it's definitely worth it and you'll be glad you did.
More information on Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, visit blackswanltd.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growth pain. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.